Praise the Lord. Wasn't that awesome? Love those lyrics. God is always leading Pastor Barber to new, exciting, heart-filled just worship. And it's so good to see everyone just really get into it and just love the Lord. We're living in exciting times right now. You may or may not have seen it, but we sent out a praise report for Sister Teresa. Everything went really good. No cancer. No cancer. Doctors giving her a good report. And we're just praising the Lord for that because it could have been far worse than what it was. Also want to draw your attention to the town of Jackson, Mississippi. And they were talking about the city's main water treatment plant broke down. More than that, the facility was running without any redundancy. They didn't have any backup systems or anything going on. So when that broke down, the rest of the facility broke down, and they have no water. People are fighting and trying to kill each other for water. God told us that these things were going to be happening, and here they are. And even more so now. Are we going to trust man, or are we going to trust the Lord? We're going to have to trust the Lord. And sometimes you're going to need him to have a raven bring you some water and some food. And you need not be afraid, because this is the hour that we're living in right now. Father, I thank you for everything that you've done thus far and where we're about to go tonight. I just release your holy angels to go throughout the sanctuary, to continue touching your people, to continue bringing them peace, comfort, and love. Father, this word tonight is tough. It's got a lot of harshness in it. It's got a lot of things that are probably going to shake your people up. But we're good, strong soldiers. We're committed to your cross. And we are able to handle the truth of what is really going on. So, Father, as we go forth, we just thank you for the anointing to receive. We break any demonic spirit from attaching itself to us. We break any spirit of fear. And, Father, we take authority over any lust spirit. We refuse to allow lust to operate in this building, in this place. You're not welcome here. And we command you to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about the hidden witchcraft tie to gang life. Hidden witchcraft tie to gang life. And this is dealing with divination, the python spirit, and the demon of pharmakia. We're going to expose the hidden witchcraft tie to some gangs that are here in the United States. We're presenting this information to you so that you can understand that people who are bound by drugs are really bound by divination, which is witchcraft, the python spirit, and the demon of pharmakia. Now, I'm passing out a handout. I would really love for you to read that at home because it talks about what President Trump was trying to do to stop the gangs. And if you look at different things that President Trump had did when he was in office, all of them were geared to fighting darkness. And this is why he is hated so much, because he actively pursued trying to destroy darkness that was in the United States. So please read that, because it's going to be very explanatory. And after you hear everything tonight, he really needs to be back in office. He just needs to be there. He was doing everything that we needed to be done. So law enforcement agencies across the United States are seeing a disturbing trend among those who are involved in gang life. A good majority of them are heavily involved in trafficking drugs. We as the body of Christ need to see the spiritual warfare aspects of what is going on. As we connect the dots tonight, we're going to see that these three cores are not easily broken: the python, divination, and demon of pharmakia. Why? We often do not see that divination, Python, and pharmakia need to be attacked systematically to dismantle the stronghold that is around God's people. And there are a lot of God's people right now who are suffering from drug addiction. And it's not time for us to count them out or push them to the wayside. It's time for us to intercede because God wants them set free. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a hierarchy to Satan's kingdom. You need to understand that. You need to understand your level of authority that God has given you and know when you're supposed to attack and know when you're supposed to attack corporately. Sometimes we play with things that God has not ordained for us to play with, and we need to be wise and understanding. Discernment and remembrance of Ephesians 6:12 will help us be better at praying and interceding for these chains to be broken off of people. Now I want to read something to you from Dr. Rebecca Brown's book, He Came to Set the Captives Free, just so you can see what the title is. This is Elaine, the witch that God delivered and set free. And she's going to recount a black mass that she was forced to attend. And I'm reading this because I want you to see the direct tie that witchcraft has with drug abuse and drug use. Often a hitchhiker is picked up some days before the ceremony and carefully guarded until the time of the meeting. In the eyes of Satan in the crowd, that man becomes Jesus, and Satan's supposed victory over Jesus at the cross is celebrated. I watched another horror as a crown of huge long thorns was driven into the young man's head, the thorns going in so deep as to pierce into his skull. Then he was stripped and beaten with whips tipped with metal studs and tortured with spikes in red-hot pokers. Finally, he was nailed to a wooden cross, which was then picked up and placed in a hole in the ground just in front of the middle of the platform. I will never forget the stench of the burned and tormented flesh, the screams of the victim, his writhing agony, his pleas for mercy. The crowd roared like a pack of wild animals, the inhuman voices of many demons from within the crowd joining in. They jeered and cheered as the cross was raised into place and dropped into the hole. Satan had appeared by that time and sat on his throne nodding in approval. The high priest urinated on the victim, and members of the congregation threw feces at him while everybody cheered Satan's supposed victory and then bowed and worshiped Satan. Satan appeared in human form as usual, dressed completely in shining white, but his eyes glowed red as a flame, and he threw his head back and gave a howl and a scream and a hideous laugh of victory as a high priest drove a long spike through the man's head, pinning it to the cross, killing him. The crowd went crazy, screaming and shouting and dancing in crazed ecstasy at the victory, end quotes. They loudly proclaimed all victory and power and honor to their father, Satan. Satan vanished shortly after that to go on to the next Black Sabbath sacrifice. At his departure, the meeting turned into a sex orgy, human with human and demon with human. Every type of sexual and perversion imaginable was practiced. The victim's blood was drained off and mixed with drugs and alcohol and drank by the high priest and high priestess and passed through the crowd. Many of the crowd went up to desecrate the body. The night hours passed by while the drugged, demonic, drunken frenzy of the crowd continued. Eventually, the body was severed from the head and ground up, and portions mixed with drugs and other substances. Those who wanted more power ate some of the mixture. The third day, as people began to come down from their drugged state, they left for home in twos and threes, all proclaiming that their great and glorious father, Satan, had won yet another victory over the enemy, Jesus Christ. So this is the witchcraft ceremony that they performed and that they did. I wanted to read this to you because this is real. These are things that are going on today, each and every day. God sees this stuff going on, and it's not in our faces. So we can kind of poo-poo it and say, oh, this isn't real. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This witch that told this story doesn't know what she's talking about, but it's real. So you're going to see a parallel in what some of these gangs are doing. They're doing this exact ritual. They're doing it with the belief that they're going to manifest Satan. They're going to use Satan to protect them in their drug schemes and drug games. But the crazy part is how much drugs are involved in this whole process. We don't really think about that on a regular basis. In some circles in drugs, sex is a part of it. They're exchanging each other for money, for more drugs, for more high. So they're really involved in a ritual as well. And they don't even know it. They're not even aware of this. This is being practiced all over the world. It's being practiced here in the United States. And these same practices are now being done by the gangs in this country. Genesis 6, 5 to 7. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. I wanted you to see that the drug use and abuse are a standard part of witchcraft practices. The witches and warlocks use drugs to get into altered states of consciousness. Who in their right mind, unaltered by drugs, would commit a human sacrifice, would torture someone that bad? You have to be on some type of potion or some type of mixture in order to endure this. It was just inhumane what man is doing to man. If you look at some of the things that the ISIS terrorist groups are doing, the Islamic terrorist groups are doing, they're chopping people's heads off, they're torturing them, they're brutally beating their bodies. It's all the same spirit tied together. And we need to see this, and we need to be real and confront what's really going on. We cannot play games anymore with this, because more and more average citizens are being confronted with this. These gangs are going into people's homes. They're stealing the children. They're raping the mothers and the fathers. And they're going off doing their merry thing. And they think that they're just serving Satan. And this is all that life is about. You're going to see some of these things happen in the neighboring state of Maryland, real close to home. Let me continue on. Is the average drug user aware that they're opening themselves up to these spiritual experiences? I honestly don't know. What I do know is that there is something more going on here than what we realize. It's not just someone who is just trying to escape life. They're having pieces of their soul taken captive by demons. And we see this. The more and more drug use goes on, the more they lose their minds. The more they lose pieces of their soul, and they can't function anymore. This is so serious. Now, the FBI website says that there are some 33,000 violent street gangs, motorcycle gangs, and prison gangs are criminally active in the United States today. 33,000 different gangs. Many are sophisticated and well-organized. All use violence to control neighborhoods and boost their illegal money-making activities, which include robbery, drug and gun trafficking, prostitution and human trafficking, and fraud. Many gang members continue to commit crimes even after being sent to jail. Nothing stops them. According to an article posted on February 28th of this year by Luca Grobin, 10 deadliest and violent gangs in the USA that will scare you. The top 10 gangs are as follows. California's 18th Street Gang, the Florencia 13, Los Aztecas, Latin Kings, Crips and Bloods, Somali gangs. They're coming over here from Somalia. The Simon City Royals, the Aryan Brotherhood, the Outlaws, and Mara Salvatrucha, or MS-13. MS-13 is the group that President Trump was trying to get Mexico to get control of, and you'll see that in that article. Throughout the long history of Los Angeles street gangs, their members have flirted with the dark side of evil. On the one hand, they claim to be defenders of their race and neighborhood. On the other, they acted in league with the devil, both metaphorically and literally. This conflict can be seen in the mixture of religious and demonic symbols depicted on their tattooed bodies. While most street gangs were not driven by evil spiritual motivation, in the ugly man-made hell of prison, some of these gangs clearly turned to the dark side, with escalated violence being the result. The Mexican mafia actually forbade its members from picking up the Bible or espousing any form of Christianity. Some members of the Aryan Brotherhood were followers of pagan, witchcraft, or worshipers of the devil. These groups are in Delaware. In taking on these new belief systems, many gang members eschewed the moral codes they left them, they had previously ascribed to as part of their religious and superstitious upbringing. So they're leaving God. They're leaving Christianity. They're leaving Catholicism to turn into these devil-worshipping people that they are. In the 1980s, Cuban Marielitos brought Afro-Cuban cult beliefs into the Los Angeles drug and gang culture. Santeria, voodoo, and Palo Mayombo followers became some of the most violent criminal gang members Los Angeles had ever seen. Across the city, small altars with cauldrons or gongas of fruit, rum, and cocaine, as well as animal blood sacrifices, dotted the map. Botanicas, occult pharmacies that sold the paraphernalia required for these rituals, sprang up in every community. They came in the door with the gangs. Drug cartels from Mexico practiced their own rituals. Brujeria, witchcraft, altars with figurines of the bandit saint Jesus Malverde or Santissima Muerte, Holy Death, were common in cartel drug houses. Cartel members wore amulets and placed figurines of occult symbols in their cars. Some openly worshipped Satan. During the heavy metal music era of the early to mid-1980s, a new type of gang began to get the attention of gang cops in Los Angeles. Unlike the common cholo gangs, these new gangs were made up of stoners, kids who wore black concert T-shirts, leather jackets adorned with spikes and studs, and long hair. They rejected the classic oldies but goodies in favor of AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, and the Motley Crue. They also rejected the cholo gang morals and code of conduct. The whole stoners, ELA stoners, MS stoners, who later evolved into MS-13, and others played by their own rules. That's exactly what Satanists do. There is no rules. Anything goes. Soon these new stoner gangs outnumbered traditional gang members in East Los Angeles, booking cages. In turn, they were ostracized by most cholo gang members. As far as their real knowledge of the occult, most stoners only dabbled in the world of ritual magic. Some were occult kooks who followed the writings suggested by their heavy metal band heroes. They read books by Aleister Crowley, H.P. Lovecraft, and Anton LaVey, all leading Satanists in their time. However, there was also true believers who sought young neophytes to indoctrinate. So they're not content with just doing the magic and the witchcraft themselves. They want to indoctrinate young people to get them to start doing the very same practices and living the lifestyle that they're living in. In the homes of stoners, we commonly found occult books by these authors and altars where animal sacrifices had occurred. Young followers were getting sick from ingesting blood and urine in occult ceremonies. This is real. This is real. This is not made up. These are actual police reports that I'm reading you. Documented, proven. One of these heavy metal stoners and true believers who delved deeper into the occult was a young man who had come to Los Angeles from El Paso, Texas. His true name was Richard Ramirez, but the world would later know him as the serial killer, the Night Stalker. Everybody remember him. Okay, let's look at California's 18th Street Gang. This gang has ties to the Mexican Mafia and the Mexican and Colombian drug cartels. The gang has expanded rapidly in recent years and now has a presence in 32 states. Strong ties to the Mexican Mafia and has even infiltrated the military. The military in the United States. The 18th Street Gang is responsible for at least one robbery or assault per day in LA County, but they've also been known to be involved in murder, extortion, auto theft, drug smuggling, and human trafficking. And if you could blow this picture up a little bit, Nance, I'm going to talk about what's in this picture here. Can you scoot it over some? In this image, this is an improvised Santa Muerta shrine. It consists of a black t-shirt bearing her praying image in white and tan placed on a backboard set upon the floor. On the floor below the t-shirt, four lit Santa Muerta candles for petition focusing purposes are positioned alongside two bottles of alcohol and a glass containing a cigar. Both of the latter are items which can serve as offerings and means to activate the shrine via a devotee spitting alcohol or blowing smoke upon the Santa Muerta image. The protective shrine was found during a national police raid in Guatemala involving Barrio 18 members, which is 18th Street Gang name in Spanish, engaging in extortion activities, narcotics, marijuana, cell phones, notes on extortion victims, and assault rifles, and their ammunition were also recovered in the raid. You can go to the next picture. This is a picture of another shrine. This is clearly the darkest of the Barrio 18 Santa Muerta shrines identified. It was discovered in El Salvador and has a sinister tone to it, suggesting power and control. The shrine was tied to two members of the Huecos Locotas Sereños del Barrio 18 clique, who were likely engaging in street extortion. The shrine consists of two Santa Muerta statuettes that are black in color, generally seen as being more curse and curse protective base in nature, along with five ceramic human skulls and four glass goblets, two handguns, a semi-automatic, and a revolver, along with their bullets, are evident along with two cell phones, cash, a black beaded necklace with a black cross, and a paper with a listing of extortion contacts and their phone numbers. Also visible in the image is an ID card, which may have belonged to one of the gang members. Like the rest of the functional artifacts, the handguns, bullets, and phones, this may have been gaining magical powers while residing on the shrine. They're practicing this stuff. Florencia 13 Gang. closely collaborates with the Mexican mafia and is at odds with Banda from the 18th Street. Its influence extends predominantly to Los Angeles and the states where the countryside prevails, for example, Virginia and Iowa. It's another place close to home. Members of the criminal group are credited with piracy, criminal conspiracy, drug trafficking, and murder. In August 2013, 30 people from Florencia 13 were accused of extortion and a number of drug-related crimes. Then in a newspaper, Los Angeles Times, it was reported that the gang allegedly controls the District of Los Angeles and covers the gambling and drug business. Cruel and influential gang number three, Barrio Azteca. The Los Aztecas gang, or Barrio Aztecas, formed in El Paso, Texas, is an influential paramilitary formation on both sides of the Mexican border. Most members of the criminal group are prisoners of Texas prisons who are engaged in bandit activities inside the prison walls. Barrio Azteca cooperates with Juarez Cartel and Los Zetas, criminal organization engaged in drug trafficking and trafficking. Also, members of these criminal groups allegedly committed killings of representatives of the United States consulate. In March 2011, 35 members of Barrio Azteca were charged with a number of crimes, including the murder of Leslie Ann Enriquez Catan of the United States consulate and several members of her family. The trial is still going on. Group number four, gang number four, the Latin Kings. The Latin Kings originated in Chicago in the 1940s and is now the biggest Hispanic gang in the United States. Solid numbers are hard to come by, but they're estimated to be anywhere from 18,000 up to 35,000 Latin King members in Chicago alone. And the group is spread to 34 states. The strict organizational structure and strong religious aesthetic promotes loyalty, something that the Kings take very seriously. A member suspected of violating the gang's strict rules may be subject to brutal punishments, like a 5-minute physical, a 5-minute beating of the offender by 5 other members, or a terminate on site order, which encourages other members to kill the offender on site. The Crips and the Bloods gang, number five. So technically, this is two gangs, but you can't talk about one without mentioning the other. These two rival gangs are perhaps the best known in the country. The Bloods are an L.A. street gang that was formed in the 1970s and quickly spread across the country. There are up to 50,000 active members of the Crips in the United States. Both the Bloods and the Crips have been involved in murder, racketeering, and drug trafficking, and a bitter rivalry between the two gangs to too frequent conflict and violent retaliation. Violence. Gang number six, the Somali gangs. Many gang members who are recruited from the Somali immigrant community adopt Crypt or Blood membership upon arrival in the United States. But recent years have seen a rise in independent Somali gangs, leading to tension with more established gangs. These smaller outfits are able to commit major crimes, including alien smuggling and human trafficking, prostitution, and credit card fraud. You might be surprised to learn that the biggest pockets of these Somali gangs can be found in Minnesota, Washington State, and Missouri, and proving that gang violence is not just a big city problem. The Simon City Royals. The Royals were formed in Chicago in the 1950s and are the oldest and largest white gang in the United States. According to Babe Howe, a criminal law professor at City University of New York who focuses on crime and race, police tend to underestimate the percentage of white gang members and overestimate the number of black and Hispanic members. Group number eight, the Aryan Brotherhood. Many of the predominantly white gangs, like the Simon City Royals, were formed when white people, after being denied membership and typically Hispanic or African American gangs began forming their own copycat gangs. But that's certainly not the case for all of them. Some white gangs were founded on extremely racist, white supremacist views, and the most notorious of these groups is the Aryan Brotherhood. The group, also known as the Brand, Alice Baker, AB or 1-2, was founded in California's San Quentin State Prison more than 50 years ago by Irish bikers as a form of protection for white inmates in newly desegregated prisons. The group maintains a thriving prison network to this day. Although Aryan Brotherhood members make up just a small percentage of the country's prison population, they are responsible for up to 25% of all prison murders. The Aryan Brotherhood dabbles in typical gang activities like drug smuggling and prostitution, but their penchant for racially motivated violent crime makes them one of the most dangerous gangs in the United States. Gang number 9, the Outlaws. The Outlaws are one of the most dangerous 1%er outlaw motorcycle gangs in the country, second only to the notorious Hell's Angels. The Outlaws are the Hell's Angels' biggest, toughest rivals, with more than 1,700 members and hundreds of chapters. They are thought to be the biggest outlaw motorcycle gang in the world. The Outlaws were formed in 1935 out of Matilda's Bar on Old Route 66 in a suburb of Chicago, making this the oldest in the world. They are extremely active in the Great Lakes region and known to be heavily involved in drug smuggling at the Canadian border. Violent clashes with rival gangs are common, like the 2017 murder of an outlaw chapter president by 69ers motorcycle gang members as his truck idled at a red light. And these kinds of conflicts can often kickstart a cycle of brutally violent retaliation between gangs. This last group right now is the most violent of them all, and they have the heaviest witchcraft. The Mara Salvatrucha, or MS-13. Mara Salvatrucha has a long tradition of criminal activity as well as an undercurrent of dark spirituality and extreme violence associated with the gang. Recent MS-13 incidents involving occult rituals and or artifacts that have been reported in the news, some of which have been mentioned in the key information readings, are as follows. Destroyer House Shrines. This is Maryland, state of Maryland, in El Salvador. MS-13 members socialize and plan clique activities in what are known as destroyer houses. These hideaways are places to party, confer with members of their cliques, plan criminal activities, revenge, and attacks on rivals, and they reinforce group bonds and identity. Graffiti symbolism and rituals are an important element of defining and solidifying group identity. Essentially, these group identities are forged through narco cultura and narco saints and sanatitos, where alternate belief systems provide justification for gang action, reinforce social bonds and legitimacy, and forge group cohesion. The next one also occurred in Maryland, beheading and heart removal. In the third generation gang strategic note number 7, we documented a brutal, potential, ritualistic killing linked to MS-13 in Wheaton, Maryland, where the victim was stabbed over 100 times, beheaded, and his heart was cut out of his body. The suspects in that murder and several others in Maryland were linked to MS-13. While these attacks seemed to lack a direct ritual aspect other than the beheadings and extrication of the heart in the Wheaton case, they are brutal, and machetes are a common element in their modus operandi. You remember the witch, Elaine, she recounted that black mass and how the man's head was severed from the body. Same thing, same brutal acts that they're doing. Satanic rituals and murders. Texas police in Houston, Texas, have linked an MS-13 murder with a satanic ritual. In that murder, a Marrero, known as a Diabolico, killed a teenage girl because she made a negative comment about his shrine dedicated to satanic beliefs. According to the prosecutors in the case, the 15-year-old victim, who was also kidnapped and raped, was killed to assuage the icon because the defendant said the beast did not want a material offering but wanted a soul. The beast. Devil worship and Satanism. The gang originated in East Los Angeles in the later 1970s as Amerisalvatrucci Stoners, MSS. While its members had El Salvadorian roots, it was a stoner gang with its members into heavy metal music. Light drug use, marijuana, low-level criminality, and counterculture, teen cool Satanism. One weekend, the detectives in East Los Angeles called my OSS gang team out to the very large Calvary Catholic Cemetery on Whittier Boulevard. During the previous night, a group of stoners had avoided the security cameras, an 8-foot chain link fence topped with razor wire, and witnesses, and broke into the mausoleum. They played with several caskets and decomposed bodies and attempted to break into the tabernacle of the chapel altar. Caskets and decomposed bodies. They also desecrated several religious statues. We soon discovered that the Home of Peace Jewish Cemetery across the street had also been vandalized. The Jewish flag and a mummified left hand of a male corpse had been stolen. All the stolen items had little monetary value, but a great deal of ritual magic and symbolic value. At the Calvary Cemetery, the vandals had used the rotting slime from some of the corpses to write on the crypts, Stoners 13 and Marcos S. 13. This was considered gang graffiti by the senior detectives, so they called in the gang detectives to handle the unpleasant, disturbing incident. These are real things that are happening, that are going on. In closing, I want you to read Revelations 13 because it talks about the beasts in the end times, both of the beasts, how they come in and how they're going to unite the world in one world religion. The witchcraft, the Islamic religions, some of the other different religions that are going on out there, they're all tied together. They're all going to be used to bring about the end time new world order that has been coming and been prophesied and told to us. This is what's going to happen. So I want to close with what the DEA has found out. And this is a quote from one of the DEA agents. What we see happening at the Drug Enforcement Agency is essentially that there are two cartels in Mexico, the Sinaloa cartel and the Jalisco New Generation cartel, that are killing Americans with fentanyl at a catastrophic and record rates like we have never seen before. The DEA administrator, Ann Milgram, told CBS Mornings on Friday ahead of the National Fentanyl Prevention and Awareness Day. Those cartels are acting with calculated, deliberate treachery to get fentanyl to the United States and to get people to buy it through fake pills, by hiding it in other drugs, any means that they can take in order to drive addiction and to make money. These are the Mexican drug cartels that are leading these other witchcraft gang groups, and their goal is to destroy the youth of America. They're not even interested in money. They just want to kill. They just want to fulfill their rituals. Listen to this. Since China's government scheduled fentanyl, the amount of finished fentanyl shipped directly from China to the United States has declined, while the amount shipped from Mexico has increased. Guess what China's doing? The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration assesses Chinese traffickers have shifted from primarily manufacturing finished fentanyl to primarily exporting precursors to the Mexican cartels. So they're not finishing the fentanyl. They are sending the parts of fentanyl to the Mexican drug cartels, selling it to them. They're selling it to us, and many of our youth and people are dying from this fentanyl. This is all witchcraft. This is all the divination spirit, the python spirit, and pharmakia that is there and it's active. They deliver the final product. U.S. law enforcement has seen a growing trend of Chinese nationals in both Mexico and the United States working with the Mexican cartels. As Chinese suppliers coordinate more with international partners, the Drug Enforcement Administration is concerned that fentanyl production is becoming increasingly global and more difficult to track and control. So they promised us, they promised Biden, we won't make this anymore, but they started making it in smaller parts so that they could sell it to the Mexicans. The Mexicans got the rest of the parts to make it, and they're selling it to us, killing us off. This is bad. Last item. The Drug Enforcement Administration is advising the public of an alarming emerging trend of colorful fentanyl available across the United States. In August 2022, Drug Enforcement Administration and our law enforcement partners seized brightly colored fentanyl and fentanyl pills in 18 states, dubbed rainbow fentanyl in the media. This trend appears to be a new method used by drug cartels to sell highly addictive and potentially deadly fentanyl made to look like candy to children and young people. This is here in Delaware. It's in Maryland. It's in all of the states. There is an active witchcraft attack against God's people. Does everyone understand everything that's been said? Do you get a clear picture now of what's really going on with the witchcraft? It's serious. It's very, very serious. Father, I thank you for everything that you've done. I thank you for the strength of what's been said. This wasn't done for shock value. This wasn't done to stir up emotions. This was done, Father God, so that we would know the truth and we would know how to discern what actually is going on. Father, we submit this to your heart. We ask, Father God, that you would give us the tools that we need to actively intercede and pray for our family members who are bound by these drugs. We ask, Father God, for the anointing to destroy this root so that they can be set free and not become a victim of the Mexican drug cartels and the Chinese. We pray all of this, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.